All right, seeing that the time is approximately 1:30, we will get started with calling the meeting of the Planning Commission of the County of Orange to order at 1:30. First item is the Pledge of Allegiance. Commissioner Bartlett, would you mind leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on to our second item, we have our roll call of the commissioners in attendance, starting with Commissioner Ha.
Here.
Commissioner Seha.
Here.
Commissioner Rice.
Here.
Commissioner Kuz.
Here.
And Commissioner Bartlett.
Here.
That brings us to our third item and the first item on our consent calendar, which is the consideration of election of Planning Commission or Planning Commission officers. Upon the selection of a Planning Commission chair, I will turn the meeting over to the chair to handle the rest of the agenda processing. With that, are there any nominations for the position of Planning Commission chair?
I would like to nominate Commissioner Barker to be the chair for the year 2024.
I'll second that. There's been a motion and a second. Commissioner Bartlett, any oppositions to the nomination?
None for me.
Okay. Seeing none from the member being nominated, I will now call a vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? Hearing none. Congratulations, Commissioner Bartlett, on becoming the chair of the Planning Commission for the 2024 year. Oh. Yes, now he can call the next nomination of the vice chair.
So,
Royal ceremony. Royal ceremony.
Royal. Oh, thank you.
Except to about.
See if this works. Okay. The next item would be the election of the vice chair. So, do I have a nomination for vice chair?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to nominate Commissioner Ha.
Commissioner Ha has been nominated. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Kuz. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Great. Congratulations, Commissioner Ha.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on. Can we just stay where we are? Is that okay? That's good.
Yeah, stay where you are.
Okay.
You're the chair.
Yeah.
So you can
I'm staying in this chair. So we'll move on to item number one. This is our public meeting to initiate a comprehensive general plan amendment, GPA 24-1, covering all supervisory districts.
I'm sorry. Can we do the approval of the minutes on December 13th first?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. I was jumping right into the item. So we do have the approval of the minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review those? And if so, can I have a motion for approval?
I will make a motion to approve the minutes of the December 13, 2023.
Get a second. I'll second that. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? And we have one abstention.
Should I abstain? Yeah,
one abstention.
Abstention.
Yep.
And just for the record, the abstention is due to Commissioner Kuz not being appointed and present at the December hearing. And if you see you figured it out. You got to get the red light.
Is red good?
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Kirk. Thank you, Commissioner Hoff. And now we'll move on to item number one, the public meeting and the initiation of the comprehensive general plan amendment for all supervisory districts. Staff is requesting authorization to initiate a general plan update to revise all elements of the general plan. Mr. Kirk, do we have a staff report?
Yes, sir. Our advanced planning manager, Cindy Salazar, will be presenting on behalf of the county.
Ms. Salazar, go ahead when ready. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairman and Chairwoman. My name is Lee Salazar, Advanced and Environmental Land Use Manager. Today with me we have Yurtsy Randall, which is an Associate Planner, and Ruby Maldonado, Contract Senior Planner. We are before you to request authorization to initiate comprehensive general plan update, GPA 24-01, to revise all elements of the county general plan. On the screen, today's presentation will provide an overview of the agenda items listed on the screen, so please stop me at any time during the presentation for any questions that you may have. The general plan serves as a legal basis for all local and land use decisions and is the vision for how the county will evolve, reflecting the values and priorities of its communities. The general plan is a blueprint for the growth and development and is considered a long-term document since it looks 15 to 20 years into the future. The county general plan consists of 7 required elements and also includes 2 optional elements listed in the second bullet. The county is required by California Government Code Section 65300 to have a legally adequate general plan which addresses both unincorporated and the entire county. Over the last few years, planning staff have updated select elements of the general plan to meet compliance with state law. For example, the transportation element was updated in 2020 for consistency with SB 743, and the land use element was updated in September 2022. Ongoing revisions, such as the housing element, will be submitted to the Planning Commission and Board of Supervisors for consideration separate from this comprehensive general plan update. The general plan is considered comprehensive since it addresses all of the components that characterize the county. These components include physical attributes of how the land is used and social aspects such as economic conditions. All cities in Orange County have general plans that address their individual jurisdictions. While Orange County general plan primarily focuses on unincorporated areas, the plan also addresses regional services and facilities provided by the county, such as the regional parks, roads, and flood control facilities. The goals of the comprehensive general plan update is shown on the slide.
Thank you, Cindy. My name is Yuritsi Randall, as presented by Cindy, Associate Planner. So the components of the comprehensive general plan are shown on the screen before you. Now they are. In addition to the component of the general plan update, the general plan update process also offers the opportunity to engage the community, discuss the county's long-term vision, and fully update, analyze, and evaluate each element of the general plan. The following is a tentative schedule for the comprehensive general plan. Approximately 44,000 door-to-door mailers will be mailed throughout the week. Over the next 3 to 4 days, residents should expect mailers to arrive starting later this week and throughout the weekend. Additionally, planning staff has been working with a consultant to finalize the county's first online public survey and is scheduled for launch by the end of this month. Finally, in-person workshops are set to begin starting summer 2024, this summer, and OC Development Services will begin the first general plan draft late fall 2024 and early winter 2025. And for the exciting part of the presentation, we want to present here, this is the general plan logo that we have. Additionally, we have the general plan update website where you can find additional information on the general plan update, including the upcoming survey and upcoming community events to come. At this time, OC Development Services recommends that the Planning Commission receive the staff report and public testimony, and B, authorize staff to initiate the comprehensive general plan update, GPA 24-01, to revise all elements of the county general plan. and we're here for any questions if you might have them.
Terrific. Thank you for the staff report. Much appreciated. Before we open the public hearing, I'd like to ask our commissioners if they have any questions at this point in time.
I don't have any.
Ms. Seha?
No questions.
Mr. Rice?
No.
Mr. Coos? One question I would have, and by the way, Mr. Kirk, you really outdid yourself with designing that logo for the new general plan. So it is really exciting, though. It's a nice logo. So how is the mailing list determined, the notification list?
The county retains a geospatial database based upon our assessor records of all property owners within the county, mm-hmm. and more specifically within the county's unincorporated communities. From that geospatial database, we're able to extract names and address of all property owners, inclusive of their mailing addresses as listed on their tax roll. And that, therefore, creates the database for the purposes of mailers.
So presumably it would go to everyone in unincorporated Orange County and everyone within a certain, like, 1,000 feet of unincorporated areas or 500 feet or something like that?
I believe it's restricted just to the members within the unincorporated. There is also the required publication of any public hearings, noticing as well. But with the mailers that we're sending out, at least preliminarily, these are outreach efforts to engage the community and not so much a public notice.
Very good. Thank you. If no questions from the commission, no other questions from the commission, I'd like to open the public hearing. So now we'd like to see if there's anybody from the public that would like to address this matter.
Yes. We have one member, but prior to that, just for the record, the public hearing was opened at 1:41. Okay. And we have one member of the public wishing to speak, Jalail Smith.
Please come forward. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. My name is Jalail Smith. I just wanted to thank everyone for this meeting and the opportunity to speak. I just wanted to say, as you know, the consideration to update the general plan, just to suggestion to include incorporating policies for environmental justice and climate action planning. I think if we're looking at a long-term comprehensive plan for the future of Orange County, I think those things should be considered. Those things should be considered in incorporating as long-term policies for the county to continue to consider as continues to grow and develop in the future. So, sorry about that. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ms. Smith. So, brings up a good point. There's no other speakers, is that right?
No, sir.
Will the climate action plan be a part of this update?
It's a component of our review, as is the environmental justice element itself.
Okay.
And the county, just in general, is working on a climate action plan through the chief executive office, through the CEO's office. So I imagine these will have to be aligned, but there is work underway.
Yes. Great. Thank you. Okay, turn it back over to the commission. Public hearing is now closed, and we will move it to commission questions, comments, motions, etc. Mr. Ha.
So, County Council, on this item number one, we don't need to vote on this, right?
You do. This is initiation of the general plan amendment. Okay. So if someone could just move the recommended actions and we can take a vote.
Okay.
The second item as well. They're both initiation, and the Planning Commission has to do that.
So, Mr. Chairman, before we take a vote, does anybody else want to comment before we...
That's how it's going. I went to you first. So, okay. Commissioner Hall, do you have any comments?
I don't have any comments.
Say how anything, Ms. Seha? Anything else?
No comments right now.
Okay. Commissioner Rice?
No.
Thank you. Commissioner Coos?
This one.
Yeah.
Good hang of it. You mentioned this, the county manager mentioned that a couple of the elements were approved, recently updated in the last decade or so. And so will those not need to be updated as part of this, or you'd update the whole thing?
We will specifically look at updating the whole thing. The housing element may not be further updated prior to or after we adopt the sixth element or cycle element update. There may be provisions of updates that have previously been incorporated that would not be further updated, but it is a holistic review. So the land use element, as mentioned, that was previously updated in 2022, will be reviewed in consideration of all land use items. We are proposing under the second action initiation, again, of a separate land use element update, and we can talk about that, but that would still be looked at being updated as well as the safety element, as well as the circulation element as well.
Okay, and one more question, since I just was on OC Parks about a year ago, where does the Parks Commission or the Parks staff fit into the open space element, the elements regarding recreation?
Yes, so we will engage with any staff, and it's with all county agencies that have programs located in with a housing element. Those teams, with respect to parks, they have their own planning team, which will be incorporated and included as a contributing member of our committee or internal staff review to ensure we identify programs that will assist them in the development of their required elements of their divisional areas. So if there's some things they need to add into the elements that would help them progress things forward, we'll ensure that is included as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Kuss. Okay, with that, I'll look for a motion on the recommended action by our commissioners.
I can make a motion. I would like to make a motion to authorize staff to initiate the Comprehensive General Plan Update, GPA 24-01, to revise all elements of the County General Plan.
Okay, Commissioner Ha. Motion by Commissioner Ha, second.
I'll second.
Second by Commissioner Seha. Any other questions, comments? Okay, everyone in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that passes 5-0. Okay, let's move on to item number two. This is, again, a public meeting, the initiation of a general plan amendment, land use element 24-01, zoning code amendment 24-01, multifamily development standards, and zone change 24-01, specific commercial and residential sites encompassing all supervisory districts. Mr. Kirk.
Thank you, Chairman. Presenting on behalf of staff will preliminarily be Cindy Salazar before turning over to our Associate Planner, Yuritsi Randall.
Thank you, Justin. I'm going to switch it up on you and I'm going to go first. So good afternoon, Chairman and Commissioners. My name is Yuritsi Randall again, Associate Planner. Today I have with me Cindy Salazar, Advanced and Environmental Land Use Planning Manager, and also our Contract Planner, Senior Planner, Ruby Mandalone. I'm getting twisted up with my own words here. So in today's presentation, we will be providing an overview of the agenda items listed here before you on the screen. Please stop me at any time during the presentation should you have any questions. The following is a brief overview of the six-cycle housing element timeline. OC Development Services and County Council have been revising the housing element update to address HCD's comments from their September 2023 letter and to account for new and updated legal requirements. One of the comments staff is addressing is the use of the Housing Opportunities Overlay District with a density of 70 dwelling units per acre for calculating the sites in the land inventory. Through recent coordination with HCD, And despite the Board of Supervisors adopting a zoning code amendment to increase the base density in the housing opportunities overlay from 43.5 to 70 dwelling units per acre on September 27, 2022, the density of the housing overlay of 70 dwelling units per acre cannot be used for calculating the sites of the land inventory. Instead, sites must be rezoned with a minimum residential zoned base density of 30 dwelling units per acre in order to be counted toward GRENA. Therefore, we are starting the process of initiating the zoning code amendment and zone change to revise existing development standards in the multifamily zoning districts and rezone specific commercial parcels to meet the county's RENA of 10,406 units. The general plan amendment includes revision of language in the general plan to ensure consistency with the proposed rezone of commercial zoning districts to mixed-use zoning districts, and consistency with the proposed amendment to the Housing Opportunities Overlay District regulations. The zoning code amendment includes amending the development standards for R2, R3, and R4 multifamily zoning districts to include a minimum density of 30 dwelling units per acre pursuant to Government Code Section 65583.2, which states metropolitan jurisdictions have a default minimum density of 30 dwelling units per acre for affordable and market rate housing units, and a maximum density of 43.55 dwelling units per acre, noting that the Housing Opportunities Overlay District of 70 dwelling units per acre and state density bonus laws still apply. Finally, the amendment also creates an affordable housing permit for Housing Opportunities Overlay districts to meet the state mandated by right approval requirement. The zone change will include the rezone of residential professional zoned lots to mixed use zoning and rezone of commercially zoned lots C1, C2, CC, CH, and CN to mixed-use zoning. Pursuant to Government Code Section 65583.2, the base will be residential with 50% total floor area dedicated to residential. Lots will be subject to zoning code amendment density minimums and maximums as stated in the slide below, and R3 development standards will be applied. As noted, the rezone will exclude the Costa Mesa Golf Course parking lot, the ranch at Newport Bay, and Silverado Canyon.
Thank you, Ritzy. The tentative schedule is shown on the following slide. So we anticipate to have a Planning Commission study session this spring. This was also enable for us to get feedback from your commission and also from the public. Shortly thereafter, and as required by state law, the amendments will be submitted to the Airport Land Use Commission. Prior to the board adoption in the fall, the proposed amendments and zone change will be submitted to Planning Commission for review and consideration for recommendation for adoption by the Board of Supervisors in late summer. The county is required to complete all required subsequent zoning code and general plan amendments and zone change before HCD will certify the county's housing element update. OC Development Services Planning recommends the Planning Commission to receive a staff report and public testimony. B, authorize staff to initiate General Plan Amendment LU24-01 Land Use Element to revise sections regarding housing to ensure compliance with existing state housing law, recent state mandates related to housing, and the county's housing element. C, authorize staff to initiate Zoning Code Amendment CA24-01 Multifamily Development Standards. And D, authorize staff to initiate zone change ZC24-01 specific commercial and residential parcels. So that concludes the presentation. We're available to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Another excellent staff report. Before we open the public hearing, I'd like to go to our commissioners for any comments or questions. So any comments, questions from the commission?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Commissioner Rice.
I would like to spring on County Council my question. Maybe just the briefest of background of what's going on here, and my impression that there's been some changes. We used to just do in the last element, do this overlay, which was kind of theoretical. Now we're being, I believe, compelled from the people in Sacramento to do what we're doing now, and that it does not, it may or may not represent the desires of any, all, or the majority of supervisors. I don't know, but it doesn't represent something that's come to us from the supervisors from their own volition, as I understand it. If any of that is correct or incorrect, maybe you can inform us on that.
Sure. So what has happened here is that since the letter we received on September 27th, there has been, there was a case called Martinez that basically stands for the proposition that you cannot use a housing opportunities overlay zone that is not the base zoning to essentially count for your arena numbers. You cannot take that maximum. Martinez is a 90-page case, and it came out of Los Angeles. Aside from that, Government Code Section 65583.2, Subdivision C, and Subdivision H require that if you want to use certain sites to meet your RENA, and those sites are non-vacant, meaning they already have something on them, and you have used those non-vacant sites to count towards your RENA during a prior planning cycle, which means in your fifth cycle housing element, you can only do so if you rezone those to a minimum 30 dwelling units per acre. You are correct, this is state mandated. We don't have enough sites to not use or reuse our non-vacant sites. We simply don't, to meet our RENA obligation. We may not have enough even doing that, okay? So we are still working on that. In addition, if you are using any of those same sites for affordable, to count towards your affordable housing RENA numbers, and that means low, very low, or the last category that they added, extremely low, sorry, income, you have to have at least 50% of the underlying zoning. Well, no, the underlying zoning has to be residential. If it's mixed use, it has to be at least 50% residential with an allowance for 100% residential, and also the 30 dwelling units per acre apply. Our problem is we have always been lacking in those lower income units, and so we are obviously reusing sites that we have used in prior elements. In order to do so now under that 65583.2H, which I can recite in my sleep, then we have to do this. The letter from HCD that we received was a little bit cryptic about this, but it did mention Martinez, and they have continually asserted to us that we needed to accomplish a rezone, which we were a little confused by because we did that. We thought that what they were really talking about is what we're talking about right now. What we have decided, and this is just initial, again, this has not been presented to the board. We do not know what the board is going to think about this, but cities have been sued, Anaheim most recently, and they lost against HCD when they refused to comply with these provisions. So that will be something that I will tell all of you. I will tell all of you again. Depending on the decision of the board, we could face a suit. We still have a non-compliant housing element. What that means is that we are not getting SB2 money from the state of California. SB2 money flows through the County of Orange and is given to cities for homeless and low-income housing. As you can imagine, there are various cities who are not very happy that we don't have a certified housing element, and that money is not flowing through us to them. So we are, working hard, but as most of you know, or many of you, because you've been on the Planning Commission for a while, we have limited space left in unincorporated areas. Much of what is left is in the canyons, and truth be told, that's fire hazard. There are other reasons that the state won't accept those properties as part of our arena, right? Fire hazard, not located next to transit, and those sorts of issues. So we decided initially as the team to essentially apply that 30 dwelling units per acre to residential, commercial, and commercial properties that were already multifamily. And so that's essentially increasing the minimum density, but it would have been in areas that are already multifamily zoned. That is probably the least impactful, instead of choosing single family neighborhoods in R1 to upzone essentially. So that's kind of our proposal. We're still working through all those details. Today we're initiating. Again, I agree with you. I don't know exactly what the board will think about this, but they will be briefed before it's brought to them, before any of these things are brought to them. And we have to accomplish the rezoning before we can turn in the housing element to even see if it substantially complies at this point. And we still have other outstanding issues. This is just one of the issues identified by HCD. It's the largest, I would say, that we still have to fix because it changes our site inventory substantially, but it's just been an interesting challenge for us to try to figure out where and why and when to do all of this. But it is a state mandate. There is a case to support the state statute, and it's kind of where we are.
Commissioner Rice, anything else?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Goose. One question. There was a couple of, in Salazar, there was a couple of exclusions noted in the staff report. Could you just briefly identify why they were excluded?
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, so the sites that URCC noted that were excluded in the zone changes, the Costa Mesa Golf Course, that was requested to be excluded from our site's inventory, I think in the second draft. By the 5th District, and then also exclusion of the sites in the Silverado Canyon areas, and due to the topography and floodplain. So those two sites have been excluded. Thank you, County Council Nicole, for your explanation. Additionally, through the various drafts that we have submitted through HCD, we have had a reduction in the number of sites due to feedback received. So most recently, we had to remove 1,800 sites from the Brea area. That was a comment letter received in addition to the HCD letter that we received in September as well. So due to all the different factors, we are limited in the sites, and every cycle that we've submitted to HCD, we've had a reduction of almost 1,000 sites.
So, Ms. Walsh, is that anybody can make a request for an exclusion? Is that how it works?
It's not that anybody can make a request for an exclusion. It's that we have to show realistic capacity to HCD. If a property owner comes to us, and this is true on the Santa Ana Country Club golf course, and says, I'm not going to do residential, then guess what? It's not realistic. And the planning period is only 5 years left. We only have 5 years left. That what we're saying is we can develop these 10,406 units on these sites in the 5 years we have left. The other location is the Era Energy site, also not realistic. There are no planning applications pending either in Los Angeles or Orange County for that site. The state made us aware of a letter they received from, I think, Hills for Everyone, asking us to remove that site. Similarly, the site in Newport Beach, Banning Ranch, infeasible to develop. We tried to count it, but yeah, infeasible.
So unlike the Aera site, you know, I know it well. I live on the west side of Brea, and so I know most of it's in LA County, but are you saying it was excluded merely because Hillsborough, everyone objected to its inclusion?
No.
Or did Aera say we're not planning on doing anything for 5 years?
Aera does not have a planning application pending at this time, and it would take more than 5 years for that application to be processed because they would be sued. So we can't make the argument that there is a realistic chance that we could use those, I think it was 1,080 units within this 5 year period if there's no application pending. We've used it before where there was an application pending in prior housing cycles. We don't have an application. So,
excuse me for interrupting, by virtue of not having a filed application, it seems to me short-sighted. This is long-range planning.
Well, it's an 8 year planning, so it's not the total.
It's not 20 to 30, okay, fine. But
range, but yeah.
Well, and if I want to add, or if I could also add, in the original approvals of the development project in both LA County and Orange County, Hillsborough Everyone had sued on the development proposals on environmental grounds. And I believe there was consideration of basically making this a protected open space in the long and short term.
And I think the state believes that the state will be able to purchase this as open space. Uh-huh. And so HCD is not going to find that we have realistic capacity on that site.
Is this the west side of the 57?
No, I think it's on the east side of the 57.
I'm not sure.
Well, they own all of it, but
yeah.
But there's a portion in the west side.
I think it goes on both sides. I'm just not sure what is in Orange County. More if it's in LA, but
I guess I'm satisfied. I just wouldn't want, just because a interest group opposed it, to be the sole reason.
We look at that realistic capacity, and so does the state. So we have to be able to back up with evidence our numbers for each of these sites. And that's been a problem in the prior three, we're on round three, partly because HCD does not believe we can back up our numbers appropriately. And so that's kind of why we're trying to shift things right now.
And just for added measure, with the Hills for Everyone's letter, their stated objection cited the legal case in direction to go towards open space. And that was basically agreed upon and found to be valid by HCD, saying, well, this letter which we've received raises objection or very competent and cogent arguments for objecting to these sites for these reasons. As such, we do not find that there's realistic capacity to actually develop there within the 8 year period.
It's similar to Banning Ranch.
All right. Well, maybe that site will be included in the general plan updated under the housing, the open space element.
Perhaps.
Thanks, Chairman.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, commissioners and staff. Now I'd like to open the public hearing. Is anybody here, member of the public, that would like to speak on this matter?
I've received no request to speak at this time.
No request to speak? Okay, we'll close the public hearing. And we will open it up to the commission for any further comments, questions, or a motion. Commissioner Seha, can I ask you for a motion? Would that be okay?
Oh, yeah. I'd like to make a motion to approve the recommended actions by staff.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Motion by Commissioner Seha, second by Commissioner Ha. Any other comments, questions? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that passes 5-0. Thank you, commissioners. And we'll move on to the item number 3, the executive officer update. Mr. Kirk.
Just three quick items for you. The first is we have completed our update to the county's fee study. It's a three-year cycle. We received approval to proceed with the hearing process through the executive director, the director of OC Public Works. Our next steps in this process will be presenting the item to the BIA, Rancho Mission Viejo, and other constituent groups. A high level, just topical kind of notion, we're only identifying approximately a 10% increase in fees despite having over 20% increases in expenses, predominantly due to costs of staffing increasing. We are reducing our multiplier, which is the basically the unit we calculate our fees for total cost recovery, down from 3.65 to 3.5. That is a result of increased billing time and efficiency in our county staff and a reduction in our consultant usage. And we have found a full cost recovery mechanism for our staffing levels as existing and consultant usage. So all in all, it's a very productive study. We really went through and tried to address things appropriately. There are reductions in certain fees that we want to have low bar or barriers of entry or bars of entry, so such as kitchen and bathroom remodels, right? Rather than charging full freight and not necessarily getting people coming in for those permits, setting them at a realistic level. Additionally, fire and life safety issues such as fire suppression systems have been identified at a lower level to reduce avoidance of these items. So it's been approximately a four-month process, and the other challenge is we can't increase our usage or funding through our net county costs, so that's our general kind of cost element. So we were able to productively create a fee study that resolves all these issues. Not the most exciting or land use oriented item, but it's what keeps the lights on and allows us to process applications for the county. If there's any questions before proceeding, I'd be happy to answer them.
Commissioner Rice.
Yeah. Mr. Kirk, is this related in a way? Several years back, there was instituted or online, as I understand it, online so that the staff wasn't even needed for certain things. You didn't have to show up to a counter and things like that. And that was that 4 years ago? We were talking about that. Do you know if how that's working?
It's actually working. If you ask staff, it's working well. If you ask our repeat customers, it's working well. It hits the first-time customers a little bit challengingly just due to the online interface. Sometimes they will get automated emails that get sorted immediately into a filtered spam or junk email. And so you learn the tricks of the trade of adding that email address to your contact so that avoids that. But it's largely worked. I will also say on a industry level or governmental industry level, most communities have migrated to online processing in some construct. We're 100% online comparatively. Most cities and communities will still allow for some paper submittals, but we've tried to avoid that. It has not had a direct corollary reduction in our customer service staffing. We still have to address customer service, either people coming to our counter at the county service center across the way, or via email or phone calls. And as I said, those first-time customers have a lot of questions, require a decent amount of hand-holding.
If I may follow, Mr. Chairman. And for those first-time people with frustrations, have you found that they understand that they are welcome to call a human being, and do they get that? Because it's a culture-wide thing that we get sent around on phone calls and all that kind of business.
I think that we try to overtly communicate that in writing as well as in any representations online. I think to your point, though, this being more a cultural or ubiquitous issue, I think people just largely assume everything is either automated or online without a human contact. There's a number of commercials now that highlight that you can talk to someone in person, and even begun noting in the continental United States. So that has become somewhat of a customer service item, right? rather than calling an AI-generated phone line that you'll get somewhat of a answer from, but maybe not directly communicate with, I think that that is still somewhat of the expectation of the general public. We try our best to communicate that, that there are people you can contact and address your issues with within a certain window. But I still think those first-time customers largely feel that they're left to that digital arena.
One last. Well, I'm happy to hear that because, you know, when we call up, you call up some company or whatever, you're for the most part, it's voluntary. For the most part, you know, you're engaging with them because you've chosen contractually to work with these people, and obviously that's not the case with government. It's very important, and I'm glad to hear that, that our newer system, newish system, seems to be working. I encourage staff to keep on making sure that while you would like to see people engage the new system, in any new system like this, and in this digital age and all, whatever you want to call that, there's always going to be a period of time where we have to make sure that people can rely on dealing with human beings. And as I said, particularly when it's government, and we can't just say, oh, forget, I'm not going to deal with these people anymore, I'm going to go with this other company anymore. And they don't have that option. And they pay taxes maybe for years, property taxes, to expect that maybe that one time that they want to redo whatever. So very good. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kirk. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
If I might add just a personal note, having grown up in North Tustin, I get direct phone calls either from my mother or from people I grew up with asking for help, and they still get help.
Well, good for your mother.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner Rice. I do have a question, Mr. Kirk. So you outlined that you were going to be taking this matter to some stakeholders, and then will it come to the Planning Commission or go directly to the board?
It goes directly to the board.
Okay.
So what I will probably do is after board action, just a receive and file memo, just updating you on the action by the board.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Two more items. Just secondarily, we had a recent transfer of an employee who was an administrative manager in our land development team. She's now moved over to our current planning team, replacing Brian Kernow, whose position's been vacant for almost a year and a half. So it was a long time coming to hire someone, and it highlights the challenges of the labor market, especially in municipal government. It's really not easy to attract and retain talent.
Congratulations.
It just opened a hole in a different location, which is the unfortunate reality.
The holes. We just try to fill the boat.
As best we can. Thirdly, just as upcoming items, I believe we do have an item identified for the second meeting.
13th. March 13th.
The 13th, so that's the first meeting in March.
Right.
Okay.
And that's good.
And now we'll move on to item number four, County Council update.
Just briefly, the Ecology Auto Parts appeal was scheduled to be heard by the board on February 5th. However, due to the rain, Vice Chairman Chafee asked that it be continued. The item has been continued to February 27th, where it will be heard, the appeal. We are continuing the litigation in the Ranch Hills matter, and we don't have any trial dates or really anything else to report. We met with counsel for petitioner today, and I mean, there might be some settlement discussions that we can have, but we're probably a little off from that as well. That's it.
Have you guys had a mandatory settlement?
We have not.
Okay. So that would be...
We've been bounced around to judges. We had some peremptory challenges filed to the judges, some just procedural challenges. So we're finally having a case management conference at the beginning of March.
Okay, we'll move on to commissioner comments. I am going to go to Commissioner Coos first because welcome to the commission.
Thanks.
And would you mind just telling us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, I'm glad to be here. So. I'm the 4th District Commissioner. I
for a living, I'm a senior vice president at a telecommunications services company. What does that mean? We build cell towers, we dig up roads and put in fiber and things like that. I've been living in Orange County all my life. Last 20-some odd years in Brea, about 10 years ago, I served on two terms on that planning commission, and before that, I served two terms on the Anaheim Planning Commission, and I've also been on the OC Parks Commission. So I don't have much of a learning curve, but I'm not a know-it-all, and I'll do my best. I actually pride myself on attendance. Unfortunately, I am going to Cabo on the 13th of next month, so way to start. But appreciate it. Thank you.
We do have a call-in option, Commissioner Kuz.
Okay.
Commissioner Rice, any comments? Commissioner Sejal?
I just want to thank staff for their hard work on all of this. I know it's not easy, and I just want to wish a happy Valentine's Day, happy Lunar New Year, and a happy Black History Month. So that's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Haugh?
I have none. Thank you.
And my only comment again would be welcome, Commissioner Kuz. Glad to have you here, and I don't have any further comments. So now we'll open it up to public comments. Does any member of the public that is here comment on the make comment on agenda or non-agenda matters and ask questions or give directions to staff provided that no action may be taken an off-agenda item unless authorized by law? Well, that was our planning commission comments. So public comments, pardon me. Members of the public may address the planning commission for up to 3 minutes per speaker regarding any item in subject matter jurisdiction of the commission, provided that no action may be taken on off-agenda items unless authorized. So does any member of the public wish to speak? Seeing none, we will adjourn to the next planning commission meeting. Are we going to hit the February 28th? Okay, so the next meeting will be the first meeting in March. Okay, we're adjourned.